Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is On Point. I'm Jane Clayson. Gina Haspel goes before the Senate Intelligence Committee tomorrow. It's the first step in her quest to be the next director of the Central Intelligence Agency. She's expected to be pressed on her role in the CIA torture program, among other things. You can join the conversation, listeners. Should Gina Haspel be the next director of the CIA? Do you have concerns? If not her, who? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. You can also follow us on Twitter and find us on Facebook. We're there at On Point Radio. Here is Democratic Senator Dianne Feinstein of California expressing her concerns about Gina Haspel on NBC's Nightly News. This was from Sunday.
It's very concerning because those of us that worked on the torture report know some things. They're classified. And this is an important part of this woman's career.
And Fox News' Melissa Francis asked Republican Senator Roy Blunt of Missouri, who sits on the Senate Intelligence Committee, to respond to concerns about Gina Haspel's history with torture that Dianne Feinstein referred to there. This is yesterday.
She's done a great job in the agency. In terms of the things that the CIA was told to do and told were legal to do at the time, that's, of course, what you'd expect the CIA to be able to do. I think she's actually more than any other person that might be nominated likely to ask the tough questions about, are you sure we've covered every base here? Are you sure that the Justice Department has come up with the right conclusion?
Joining me now from Washington is Nahal Tusi, foreign affairs correspondent for Politico. Nahal, welcome back to On Point.
Hi, it's good to be back.
Great to have you. Joining me also from Washington, Nafisa Saeed, national security reporter for Bloomberg. Nafisa, great to have you.
Hi, Jane.
So, Nahal, what will you be listening for at Gina Haspel's hearing tomorrow, Wednesday?
Well, I'm going to be particularly paying attention to the questions that the Democratic senators ask and how far they're willing to push her on the elements of the torture program that she was involved with. And I'm going to be really intrigued to see whether she tries to dodge any questions. I think a lot of her life has basically been undercover and classified, so it'll be interesting to see how much sunshine she's willing to allow to shine on it.
So, Nafisa, speak more about that, because as Nahal mentioned, Gina Haspel has been a spy for 32 years. I think much of her life remains a mystery. So this will be a very unusual confirmation hearing. Tell us a little bit about Gina Haspel's career, what we know about it.
Tomorrow is going to be sort of a public debut. We're really going to get to hear from her after there's been a lot of debate and discussion around her and her past. Like you said, she has really spent the last 33 years undercover. She was head of clandestine service, also head of the CIA's Counterterrorism Center. And so, you know, ever since she was nominated by President Donald Trump to replace Mike Pompeo, who is now the Secretary of State, the CIA has been sort of, you know, disclosing and declassifying certain things about her past, trying to, you know, frame her as this girl from Kentucky who joined the CIA and then, you know, had all this, you know, illustrious career. Her first day at the Counterterrorism Center, they say, was on 9/11, and so she had a big role in that. But at the same time, the bits that we have heard about her from reporting from different outlets around her time, you know, as the head of what is called a CIA black site in Thailand. And so I think a lot of questions around what her role and how much she knew, and also allegedly being involved in the destruction of tapes of those interrogations. I think, like Nahal was saying, it's really going to be part of what we hear tomorrow. And so she's been kind of slowly coming out publicly. She was on the Hill yesterday, so we got a look at her sort of going to meeting with some of even her critics, like Dianne Feinstein. So we'll get to hear straight from her tomorrow, which, you know, something we haven't really heard before.
So, Nahal, Democrats and some Republicans, including John McCain, Senator Rand Paul, have been critical of Gina Haspel for her role in this waterboarding program of terrorism suspects at a secret CIA, quote, black site prison in Thailand. Tell us about this place, why it was set up, and Gina Haspel's role there.
Well, this is, you know, a part of the arrangement after 9/11 when the Bush administration really felt like they had to take the gloves off well, metaphorically speaking, and apparently literally to some extent, and they wanted to have a way to interrogate suspects in secret places that allowed them to get information on what Al-Qaeda and affiliated terrorist networks were up to. And, you know, what was intriguing at the time, of course, was that the administration interpreted U.S. laws and U.S. agreements, international agreements, in a particular way that made it, their interpretation was that it was legal to do things like waterboard suspects. They said it was enhanced interrogation, that it wasn't torture. And for Democrats, this is a real issue because they have long thought that it was unacceptable, and they worry that if you put someone like Gina Haspel at the top of the CIA, you're sending a signal to the rest of the world, including the Muslim world, that the U.S. still does condone torture. And, you know, one of the things that's really interesting is that Haspel and Pompeo and others have said, look, you know, torture is illegal. You guys have passed laws in Congress to say that it's illegal, and so we're going to follow the law. But ultimately, as the Bush administration years proved, it depends on how you interpret the law. It depends on how you define something. And if you label waterboarding as something that isn't torture, then you can say it's legal. And I think for a lot of Democrats, they feel like they've been burned in the past by this, and they don't want to be burned again.
Mm. So, Nafisa, the CIA videotaped the torture, as you mentioned, and then those tapes were destroyed. Will you talk about that and Gina Haspel's possible involvement in that? Was that a problem?
That's a kind of a key point there in terms of, you know, what her involvement was. As I mentioned, the CIA has been sort of giving us breadcrumbs of, like, certain things that she was involved in, and not necessarily, you know, all of the kinds of things that she did during her career. But one of the interesting things that they decided or chose to declassify was a memo from the former deputy director of the CIA, Mike Morrell. And in that 2011 memo, he said that he made a decision not to discipline Gina Haspel for her role in destroying the tapes. And so it's kind of a long story, but basically he's saying that she sort of wrote a memo ordering for the destruction of the tapes under the guidance of who would have been her boss at that time, the director of the National Clandestine Service named Jose Rodriguez. So they were trying to show that she did this, you know, from orders and also from, you know, legal advice that she was getting at that time. And so it wasn't something that she kind of nefariously did in terms of, you know, the information that they've disclosed to us. But, you know, a lot of people I've talked to, even former intelligence officials, will say, but she still knew what was happening and what had happened, and she was involved in the destruction of those tapes. Basically, they were shredded, and that would have been around 2005. So the question is, how much did she know, and how much did she think that this could have been, you know, sort of, you know, destruction of evidence of what actually happened at that time?
Well, to be clear, Nahal, the Justice Department investigated the tape destruction, but did not order any charges to be filed here.
Right, and I think this is part of the thing. You know, some people say that the U.S. has never really gone through, like, a truth and reconciliation process on this whole part of its history and the CIA's role in torture. But, you know, there are, of course, people within the CIA and on the former CIA officials who are get really frustrated when you bring these things up, because they say, look, you know, the politicians are the ones who set the rules. We follow their guidelines. We are, you know, civil servants to a degree who follow orders based on whatever administration is in charge. So it really frustrates them that someone like Gina could be held responsible in many ways were the decisions of a presidential administration, the Bush administration in this case. Haspel has a lot of support within the agency, and people who were former CIA officials, they speak very highly of her. But I think also there are some of them who feel frustrated because they understand the symbolic situation of this, putting someone like her in charge of this program. But at the same time, again, they're like, look, you know, we were just doing what we were told was legal by the president's own advisors.
Let me get Chad in here, a caller in Charleston, South Carolina. Hi, Chad. I'm glad you called. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for taking my call. It stands to reason that she's qualified. She's a number two person right now. I mean, if she did something wrong, illegal, that's one thing. But I was in the military for 14 years. You follow orders. If somebody gives you an order, you follow them. If it's illegal, can't litigate the past. I mean, you can't continually go back and say, well, you know, looking at it now, 20 years later, mm-hmm. 10 years later, mm-hmm. you know, where does it end?
Mm-hmm. Chad, thank you. Nafisa, it's not to diminish anything about this very seemingly distinguished career of Gina Haspel.
Exactly, and that's why, you know, the White House and the CIA, the administration, a lot of Republicans on the Senate Intelligence Committee, you know, have been saying she's somebody who you would want there at this time. Even people who are critics of Trump, such as ex-director, CIA director John Brennan, the former director of National Intelligence, James Clapper, they've all kind of loudly endorsed her. And so they're saying, you know, even if this is, you know, they don't necessarily agree with the president, they think this is someone you want leading this agency. She's a career spy. So this is somebody you would want in that position and leading. And so that's from, you know, their perspective. And then there's, you know, people like Dan Vinson who've said, but if you might be sending a wrong message, if someone who has been associated with those torture programs, you know, to be now heading the agency.
Here's Quinn in New Orleans, Louisiana. Hi, Quinn. You're on the air.
Hi, Jane. Yes, I think that this nominee would be absolutely perfect to represent the CIA.
Because?
The history of the CIA in its, you know, coups in South America, interference in foreign elections, torture, extrajudicious actions against non-citizens and citizens alike matches exactly to her experience in the CIA. And if that's the tool that the CIA is going to be, the tool of American imperialism, then I think she would be the perfect fit for that. Now, what we want is for the CIA to be a different representation and to do something different. I think she's a terrible fit. If we're looking for a CIA that actually protects America while staying true to our values, then I don't think she has that. But for the way the CIA is now, yeah, absolutely perfect.
I hear you, and thank you very much for the call. Senator John McCain has a different opinion, Quinn. He has sent written questions for Gina Haspel about the techniques that were used under her leadership, and these are his words. Those techniques compromised our values, stained our national honor, and threatened our historic reputation. Here is Republican Senator Rand Paul speaking to Face the Nation's Margaret Brennan back in March. He opposes the nomination of Gina Haspel.
There's enough votes, she'll eventually win, but there are a few things in life where it is worth standing up and saying, enough is enough. This is wrong. This is, you know, this is beneath contempt. We are not a people that should be so fearful or so vengeful that we think that torture is somehow acceptable.
Nafisa, I suspect at these confirmation hearings, we will hear Gina Haspel have to answer questions about whether she would agree to reinstate waterboarding, as the president has suggested, and whether she believes that torture is an effective way to extract information from terror suspects.
Right. These questions are definitely going to be, I think, front and center tomorrow. And how she responds, I think, is really going to determine how some people who haven't necessarily come out and said whether they're voting for her or not, such as Mark Warner and others who are, you know, kind of on the fence right now, perhaps waiting to see how she actually performs. So if she comes out and condemns it, perhaps, and you know, just says that she's not going to revive those tactics, maybe that'll reassure some people. But for other lawmakers, you know, given her past and what she's associated with, that still might not be enough.
Let's get Tim in here from Rapid City, South Dakota. Hi, Tim. Welcome to the program.
Yes, hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
I just have a very quick comment.
Okay.
And simply kind of following up on a prior caller, and it's, there's so much emphasis on this one aspect of a career that we're missing the fact that she's going to be leading a highly complex matrix organization, and she clearly is the most qualified to do that. And in an environment where a lot of people are being pointed to positions where they don't have experience, we should be happy that there's someone like her that could fill this position.
I'm glad you called to get that in. I will bookend what you're saying to Nehal. More than 50 former U.S. national security officials and lawmakers have written letters of support endorsing Gina Haspel. Tell us about those letters and that support.
Well, that's the thing, is that many of them say that, look, she's very qualified, that there's a lot to her perhaps that people don't know, but that they are aware of, that they're very confident in her. It's worth noting, though, you know, it's not just a matter of having someone like Gina Haspel lead the CIA. It's the fact that the President of the United States has himself spoken in favor of things like waterboarding, and he said he wanted to bring back a hell of a lot worse than waterboarding. And so, you know, Democrats are thinking if you have someone like Gina Haspel in charge and the president who has said these things, what kind of a combination is that going to lead to? But the other side of it, and some Democrats are definitely thinking about this right now, is, well, if you don't pick someone from within the agency who knows its culture, who's respected by the agency, who could Trump end up nominating? And there's some concern that he might find someone that the Democrats and perhaps, you know, even the CIA and national security establishment consider to be a far worse possibility, someone who's even more likely to pursue policies that Democrats and others just disagree with. So they're thinking that as well. And so when you're a Democrat and you see all these people sending you letters, you know, these prominent established intelligence and other leaders, you know, many of whom definitely don't even agree with Trump, and they're saying, look, Gina is a good person, you should agree with her and vote for her, that puts a lot of pressure on Democrats because they know where the president stands on these things as well.
So Nafisha, wrap us up here. Will she have the votes? Will she be confirmed? What do you see?
She needs at least one Democrat to win confirmation because she doesn't have Rand Paul's vote. She doesn't have, and John McCain is away. And we've already had several Democratic senators like Sheldon Whitehouse, Kirsten Gillibrand, and Senator Heinrich saying that they're opposing her. So she's really going to have to win over at least one of the Democrats to get to clinch this vote.
All right, we'll be watching Nihal Tusi, foreign affairs correspondent at Politico. Thank you very much for being here today. Appreciate it, Nihal.
Thank you.
And Nafisha Saeed, national security reporter at Bloomberg. Appreciate your time, Nafisha. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Continue the conversation, listeners. Get our On Point podcast at our website, onpointradio.org. Follow us on Twitter. Find us on Facebook at On Point Radio. On Point is produced by Anna Bauman, Brian Hardzinski, Eileen Amata, Stefano Katsonis, Allison Poli, Catherine Proctor, Tanya Raleigh, and James Ross. Coming up tomorrow, reaction from Washington and around the world to President Trump's decision on the Iran deal. I'm Jane Clayson. This is On Point.
Point is a production of WBUR Boston and NPR.